trade disputes.
Yes.
They can start in some pretty weird places. Take flavored tobacco.
Flavored tobacco. Back when I graduated from high school, it was theater kids and goths smoking clove cigarettes. Everything smelled like Christmas morning.
I don't think cloves were a thing when I was in high school. It was menthol cigarettes.
You know, same thing. I feel like every generation has their tobacco flavor that fools them into picking up a filthy, filthy habit.
I know I was one of these teenagers.
That's Barack Obama.
Former Joneser-in-chief, former president, former cigarette addict.
It's 2009, and here he is standing in the White House Rose Garden about to sign this big anti-smoking bill.
Specifically to crack down on those flavored cigarettes. The chocolate, the pineapple.
The licorice and coconut.
Stuff the kids like.
They are offered products with flavorings that mask the taste of tobacco and make it even more tempting.
He walks over to a desk. He's got the ceremonial pen.
Thank you very much. Let's go sign the bill.
And the ban on flavored cigarettes is law. You can't make them, sell them, or ship them.
American kids are saved. It is a happy ending. Who could possibly argue with this?
The entire country of Indonesia. They've been sending the United States hundreds of millions of cigarettes for decades. Clove-flavored cigarettes. And Indonesia notices something funny about this law. The ban includes strawberry flavors and cherry and coffee. But there is one flavor that escaped this ban. Mint.
Mint. Better known as...
menthol cigarettes.
Cool, refreshing menthol. The law specifically exempts mint cigarettes, which are mostly made here in the United States.
And then Indonesia is like, wait a minute, you can't ban our clove cigarettes and allow your mint cigarettes. That's not fair. We, as Indonesia, say this is an international trade violation under the World Trade Organization.
It is on.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Sarah Gonzalez.
And I'm Robert Smith. 23 years ago, the United States and just about every country in the world decided that they were going to have a common set of rules about trade. And if anyone broke those rules, they would have to immediately report to a lake in Switzerland, home of the World Trade Organization, the WTO.
It's like the United Nations for trade. And like the United Nations, it's made some enemies, including, it seems, our current president.
Today on the show, we ask the big questions. Should the WTO be able to veto a decision made by the elected representatives of the American people?
Does it have the power to stop a trade war?
And the biggest question of all?
Is mint a flavor?
Is mint a flavor?
Is it?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Betterment, the largest independent online financial advisor. For one low, transparent fee, Betterment gives you personalized advice and invests your money, working to increase your long-term returns while providing advanced data security. For a limited time, you can get up to 1 year managed for free. The more you deposit, the longer they'll waive your management fee. For more information, visit betterment.com/planetmoney. Betterment. Rethink what your money can do.
Here's the scene. It's 2010, Geneva, Switzerland, the headquarters of the WTO. It's this big, classical-looking office building right on the shore of Lake Geneva. Sun pours in through these big windows.
And a letter arrives from the country of Indonesia. This is the first volley in the great dispute of Indonesia versus the United States, clove versus mint.
Savory versus refreshing.
Don't listen to him, kids. Don't smoke.
Do not smoke.
The letter says, we formally call BS on this whole flavored cigarette ban. You have discriminated against our clove cigarettes in violation of Article 2.1 of the Technical Barriers to Trade Agreement. It's part of the Marrakesh Agreement. We all agreed on that. Remember, all of us agreeing in Marrakesh?
In Marrakesh.
The WTO is both an organization and an idea. Yes, they have a building with employees. They all call themselves the Secretariat, which is just a fancy word for staff.
But really, it's much bigger than that. The WTO is a bunch of countries that have promised to follow certain rules. There are about 60 agreements in total, but the main principle boils down to what is good for me has to be good for you. We, the countries that trade, cannot screw each other over.
and the WTO will help us enforce these rules against each other.
The process of figuring out who screwed who can take years. So what we're going to do right now is compress the whole drama of Clove versus Mint into just a few minutes.
Step one in a trade dispute, the private meeting. The two disputing countries have to talk it out on their own. Any secure room works. It doesn't have to be in Geneva. There just has to be a table. Actually, a pretty big table.
They come with their lawyers and their briefs and they fight their case. And if they are rich, they have rich lawyers. If they are poor, they have poor lawyers.
That's Pascal Lamy.
He's French.
He ran the WTO during Clove v. Mint.
So I'm looking at this case between 2010 and 2014 about Clove cigarettes. Do you remember this case?
Of course I do.
And he says the first meeting is like any negotiation.
Except there's quite a lot of translation going on. I mean, the WTO works in French, English, and Spaniard.
The U.S. walks in and says, look, we're banning flavored smokes to protect the kids. And I'm sure some countries would love to have a bunch of 12-year-olds smoking their clove cigarettes in Indonesia, but we don't.
And Indonesia is like, oh, really? You care about the kids? Then why are you still allowing a candy cane-flavored cigarette?
Not candy cane. It's menthol, and it's a palate cleanser.
It's a flavor, and kids in the U.S. are smoking menthols, too. No, you're just protecting your own U.S. tobacco companies and punishing the rest of the world.
No. This is not about foreign versus domestic products. We never mentioned any other countries in this law. Anyway, we stuck with our list
but
of flavors.
No,
and we are allowed to do that.
But
stalemate.
Indonesia and the United States, they don't agree in that private room.
That's okay. There's a bunch of steps. Next one, step two, bring in the experts.
The U.S. and Indonesia have to agree on three outside experts. They're usually diplomats or former diplomats. And these three outside experts, they're going to decide whether the U.S. has violated an international trade agreement.
And the drama moves to the headquarters of the WTO. And I've been there before. The whole place is kind of a trip. It has all these old, gorgeous murals of workers on the wall and ornate ceilings and light fixtures. But then it has all this funky modern European furniture and little teacups everywhere.
I feel like they have good coffee there.
It is excellent coffee.
Okay, well, these experts, they go into one of these fancy rooms with the good coffee. And now even more lawyers show up, this time with cartloads of paperwork.
No, it's just, you know, these people love tons of paper. You know that. It's like that in every country. Lawyers bill you by the time or by the page, because a page is a time. So the longer, the bigger, the more money they make.
And it's not just the United States and Indonesia in the room now. Now every other country that also stands to win or lose over the U.S. ban on flavored cigarettes, they're meeting with a panel too. Brazil, they say, we agree with Indonesia. This special rule unjustifiably discriminates against imported cigarettes. And here are a bunch of past trade disputes to prove it.
Turkey says, I don't know, panel of experts. First, you have to tell us whether mint cigarettes are in fact the same product as clove cigarettes.
And Guatemala is like, this distinction has too many ramifications for our country. We're not going to take a side. But allow us to explain all the reasons why we think this case is so complicated.
You can see why this process takes so long. A year and a half later, the panel of experts releases a 190-page report. And there are many fine points in there. The panel decides that the United States is right about flavored cigarettes. They do get kids into smoking.
But they also say that the United States is giving special treatment to its own menthol cigarettes. It is discriminating against an Indonesian product.
Fine. The United States appeals the decision.
Countries almost always appeal.
So the final decision will be up to what is essentially the Supreme Court of the WTO.
It's called the appellate body, made up of actual judges.
Although apparently they don't look like judges.
Do you wear robes?
No. And nor does the appellate body wear wigs.
James Backus was one of the original seven judges at the World Trade Organization.
The way you were described to me was as like the grandfather of the WTO appellate judges.
I've gone from being father to grandfather.
So, no.
Yeah, I was thought to be rather young in 1995 for such a role.
Backus is American. He was commuting from his home in Orlando, Florida, to Geneva. The judge job is a part-time gig. Backus says they all have to shed their nationalities at the door. They represent the whole world now, and they can't talk to anyone.
We refrained from dinners, cocktail parties, or anything of that sort. To the extent we socialized among ourselves.
For the first few years, the judges don't even go to the WTO cafeteria.
They're like monks, which they had to be.
The stakes are very high.
Whatever these judges decide affect trillions of dollars of trade.
The Clove versus Mint case went before the judges in 2012. It is not a trial. It's just three lonely, robeless judges meeting in a room, going over all the oral and written testimony from the earlier expert panel. And they deliberate.
The cigarette world is holding its breath.
And
the judges side with the original three experts. The U.S. loses. Time for punishment.
The WTO has what I call the rule of the playground. If a country hits its neighbor unfairly, then that country is allowed to hit it back.
The WTO gives countries permission to punish other countries. We're talking money. Either cut us a check or we get to slap retaliatory tariffs to hurt you as much as you hurt us. Indonesia says the ban on flavors cost them millions. So they wanted $42 million back from the United States. Every year, the law is in effect.
And then the whole thing just sort of fizzles out. Indonesia and the United States reach a secret settlement. And the U.S. says, we're going to keep our ban on flavored cigarettes.
And Indonesia at this point has found a workaround. Cigars. They start sending cigars. Tiny, cigarette-looking clove cigars. That's why we all still smell cloves on the street.
I feel a little bit bad about this anticlimactic ending to our big drama.
Well, welcome to the WTO. Anticlimactic is our motto. This is how a lot of cases end.
Everybody gets a thanks for participating participation trophy, and then they go home.
But this is the thing about the WTO. No one country is willing to fight to the death over this because countries want to resolve their trade disputes. They want to keep trading with each other.
So in this case, I mean, even though the two sides fought like hell over flavored cigarettes, in the long term, there are bigger issues out there. The United States wants to sell very expensive technology to Indonesia, and Indonesia has a huge textile industry and wants to sell that to the United States. And so if you look in the long term, it is in everyone's best interest to compromise.
Or at least it was. After the break, what happens when the largest economy in the world decides it's had enough of this whole compromise thing?
This week on The Indicator, the Supreme Court just legalized sports betting, and some people are worried about rampant game fixing. But it turns out, legal bookmakers have a way of keeping people honest.
Casinos watched people betting and they were able to trace it back to some players.
The Indicator from Planet Money, a short story about the economy every single day.
Donald Trump was elected president.
You may have heard.
He does not see the subtlety and the beauty of the WTO like you do, Sarah. He sees all the times that a panel of faceless foreign judges has ruled against the United States. And he says, quote, the WTO has been a disaster for this country.
To be clear, free trade has actually benefited the United States, and the United States has won most of the cases that it has brought to the WTO.
Does not matter. The Trump administration decides not just to fight back against these other countries on trade. It decides it's going to go after the WTO itself.
So we called up the guy running the WTO, Roberto Azevedo, to ask him the most pressing question of our time. Director General, is mint a flavor?
Well, the first thing I should make clear is that as Director General, I cannot comment on specific disputes.
So you can't even say whether mint is a flavor or not?
I can tell you my preferences. I love mint chewing gum, for example, and things like that.
Okay, I'll take it.
Roberto says that the U.S. is striking at the very heart of the WTO.
Remember those judges we talked about?
The ones who are sitting alone in the cafeteria?
Without robes? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, all 164 countries have to agree on who those judges are. And countries haven't always. They've vetoed the nominations of judges before, said, no, we don't like this person. Let's start the whole process over and find a judge we can all agree on.
But under the Trump administration, the U.S. is preventing any new judges from even being considered.
What we see now is different because it's not about disagreeing with the outcome. It is about not allowing the process to begin with. That is unprecedented. We never had that before.
And there's nothing the WTO can do about it.
So we don't even begin to look at the names. We don't even receive the names of the candidates. The process was not launched.
Which you have to hand it to the United States is a pretty clever way to slow down the work of the WTO.
Right now there are four judges left, and two are on their way out.
When it goes to two, then at that point in time, the appeals process is effectively paralyzed.
Are you concerned about that?
Very. Absolutely.
It seems like a lot of the reason why countries play by the rules is just kind of like out of respect for the norms of the WTO. What happens if a country goes rogue, says, you know, we're not going to follow the rules that have historically been followed?
Well, it will compromise the system, that's for sure. If we don't all try to observe the disciplines and the results of the disputes, then the system doesn't function.
You know, I think sometimes the WTO is portrayed as this boogeyman that has all of this power. But in reality, it's a pretty fragile system that takes a lot of agreement among its members to get anything done.
Right. There's no enforcement. It's really just countries promising to be nice to one another.
We contacted the U.S. Trade Representative's office in the Trump administration to ask about the new judges, and they said that they have some problems with some of the technical ways in which the WTO is handling the judge situation, and until those are resolved, they're not going to approve any more judges.
Okay, but there's one thing I want to get in here. Yes, the U.S. is making things difficult for the WTO. They're screaming at the referees on the soccer field, but the U.S. is still on the field. They are still playing against other countries.
The United States itself is bringing disputes to the system, even under this administration. So why bring a dispute to the system if you don't want to observe the system or if you don't want the system at all?
So you're saying under the Trump administration, the United States is coming to the WTO and making claims against other countries?
I'm not saying that. That is a fact.
I feel like the United States is saying, WTO, can't live with it, can't crush your trade opponents without it.
And Robert, just a warning, I think we might have to do this whole process all over again.
Of course.
The Food and Drug Administration under Trump, they've just announced that they're ready to start considering a ban on all of the flavors, including cigars and e-cigarettes, even menthol.
Let us know what you thought of the show. We are at Planet Money on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Our email is planetmoney@npr.org.
Special thanks to Michael McKeon with the Bertelsmann Foundation. Today's show was produced by Megan Tan and Nick Fountain.
Our supervising producer is Alex Goldmark, and our editor is Bryant Erstadt. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Thanks for listening. I'm having like trouble breathing. I feel like I need an...
You know why?
I think I might have lung disease.
Lung disease.
All this cigarette talk. Okay.
Wait, did we promote cigarettes too much in this?
I don't know. I kind of feel like we maybe did.
You know what we should do? We should play one of those ads from the 1980s.
Yeah. Those like really cool, like smoking ain't cool ads.
Smoking ain't hip. In fact, it's a drag. Sucking it in's just not my bag. Smoking clothes I can do without. Whatever you're into, smoking's out. Flicking off ashes, looking like a fool. Everybody knows that smoking ain't cool. No, no, no. Look around, there's no doubt. Whatever you're into, smoking's out.